Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now to talk about the Steelers is our good friend Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Ray covers the Steelers. Ray, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, Paul. I'll have you know that I did not let San Diego slip into one of my articles or one of my interviews this week, but you probably just jinxed me. I'll probably end up screwing that up sometime on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, the sad part is I had my son played for that team for a few weeks, and I still made a mistake. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the way it goes. We've been so conditioned for so many years to call them the San Diego Chargers. It's just hard to make the change.
Old habits die hard, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know if it's been officially said, but it is being reported that no surprise, but Duck Dynasty will be starting on Sunday night. Is this a good development for the Steelers or not?
Yeah, listen, I think so, Paul. I mean, you know, Mason Rudolph was limited all week. They actually just did roll him out about an hour ago. So they made the commitment for Duck Hodges this week. And, you know, I just don't think it would have been a good look for the Steelers. You know, Mason was knocked out unconscious on the field last week. I just don't think they could have brought him back within a week, even if he was feeling better. So Duck Hodges got all the reps with the ones this week. I think this is probably the best case scenario. And for the Steelers, you know, like you said, if they can find a way to win out there, you got a bye week the week after, and then you got the Miami Dolphins coming to town after that, presumably with a healthy Mason Rudolph. So, you know, if they can just find a way to win this game, it will sort of keep it interesting. If they don't, as you said, they'll probably start writing the obituary in early October, and who would have thought that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, I think. There are some people who think that maybe he's actually better than Mason Rudolph. Well, I think that's a little premature. What do you think?
I mean, how can you tell after, I mean, what did Mason play, 2.5 games? I mean, there's just no way for me to, you know, get a good grip on what kind of player he is in such a small sample size. So, you know, Duck came in and, you know, he swinged it. You know, he looked good for the quarter and a half he was in there. But, oh, my God, you know, let's see what he could do for a full game in San Diego, you know, before we start, you know, saying that he's better than Mason Rudolph. Paul, I will say it will be an interesting scenario. If he comes out and throws for 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and they win this game, that would be interesting. I still think they would go back to Mason Rudolph if he was healthy, but there certainly would be some talk around, you know, whether Hodges should stay in there in that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So, I mean, I just think it really comes down to, in my mind, people seem to forget that when Mason Rudolph came in the Seattle game, he was pretty good for a half, too. And then you have a whole week to prepare, and they have a whole week to prepare for you. It's a little different.
Exactly. And I'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, the first half of the San Francisco game wasn't good. But I thought his second half was good in San Francisco. I thought he was pretty good the entire game against the Bengals. And, you know, he kept them in there for a half or so, you know, against the first-place team in the AFC North. So I think it's way too early to make these determinations. You know, let's see how this plays out over the next month, 6 weeks before we, you know, put a label on Mason Rudolph and, you know, the type of quarterback that he can be.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing. You know, I wrote about a little bit about it today, Ray, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. My column today was basically that we've spent a lot of time talking about the quarterbacks, but it's almost not that, you know, not really the thing we should be talking about, because the receivers have not played well. Am I wrong about that?
No, I mean, they've certainly been a disappointment. You know, Juju has had his moments. He had a big touchdown last week. He broke a tackle and scored on a 35-yard touchdown. He's had a few plays like that. Deontay Johnson has had a few plays too, but after that, you know, there's not much to write home about. I mean, James Washington won't play this week. He wasn't doing much anyway. And then you get into Ryan Switzer, Johnny Holton, and Dante Moncrief, who may or may not be here in a month if the Steelers want to ensure that they, you know, they get a third-round comp pick for Le'Veon Bell. They might have to cut ties with Moncrief before Week 10 if they definitely want that to happen in next April. So I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny Holton is the number three receiver on Sunday night, and Dante Moncrief is sort of the number four guy. That's sort of the way it looked in practice this week. I mean, we'll see how the game unfolds. I suppose if Moncrief gets hot early, you know, he might get a few more snaps. But, I mean, Paul, I mean, think back to a month ago, you know, start of the season. If I would have told you Johnny Holton would be getting more snaps than Dante Moncrief, then that right there just writes your column for today. I mean, it's a scenario that no one thought would unfold, but unfortunately for the Steelers, that's where we are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of it. Looking at what they've done, that group has to get more productive, or else it really doesn't matter who's the quarterback. Because and the one thing I've seen, Ray, is they've had a hard time creating separation. And if they're not creating separation, they're not making it easy on their quarterback to, you know, to find windows to throw the ball into.
Yeah, Paul, I will tell you one thing. I wrote about this yesterday. It was published today. You know, that 35-yard touchdown pass from Mason to Juju, that was Mason's one snap from under center. Okay, play action, fake it to Connor, and boom. You know, Juju gets open. He's able to break a tackle and get into the end zone. Randy Feuchner talked about it yesterday. There are definitely benefits to the quarterback playing under center. I think you create more separation for your receivers when that happens. And, you know, we should also note that Ben Roethlisberger can throw into tighter windows than either Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph. So maybe when these guys were open last year and they made these catches, maybe they're just as open this year, but the trigger's not getting pulled. So, I mean, like anything, there are a ton of different factors that go into this, but overall, I agree with you. The receivers haven't been as productive as they need to be, and they got to get that figured out one way or the other going forward, because Ben's not coming back this week.
Yeah, he's not coming back this week or this year. Ray, what's going to be the key, real quickly, in your mind, for the Steelers to win this game? Obviously, the usual stuff: don't turn it over, don't get in bad situations. But what else?
I mean, the defense has been playing really good, Paul. I mean, I like where they are right now. We've seen turnovers here the last couple of weeks. Maybe if you get a pick six, maybe if you get a scoop and score, that can be the type of momentum changer that you need in a game like this. Listen, the Chargers are struggling too. They got a ton of injuries on their offensive line. I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I think this is going to be like a 19-16, you know, 21-17 type of game. If the Steelers defense can play well and maybe get a score in this game, I think they'll have a shot. Otherwise, I'd like the Chargers to win.
If the Steelers, do you agree with me, if the Steelers lose this one, it's probably over for them?
Yeah, I mean, 1-5, I don't know. There's probably a scenario deep in NFL history where a team has overcome a 1-5 start. You know, I know the Steelers did it in 1976. They overcame a 1-4 start, but 1-5 is awfully, awfully difficult. I know the schedule softens in the middle of the season, starting with Miami after the bye, but you're really swimming upstream if you're counting on that to happen if you lose this game in L.A.
Ray, great stuff as always. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
All right, sounds good, Paul. Talk to you next week.
All right, that's Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.